Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We are live at Steelers minicamp here at Heinz Field. You can hear us also, of course, on ESPN 970 and Steelers Nation Radio. We've been bringing you live coverage here from Steelers minicamp all week long as it takes place. The Steelers on the field right now, kind of finishing up their second day of practice as a little spirited session again today. They've all been pretty spirited.
Yeah, I really enjoyed myself the last 2 days being down here, and the weather certainly helps. I mean, it's just a beautiful day here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
The sun's out, but it's not too hot.
It's not hot.
Yeah.
You know, you were actually sitting in the seats a little bit, getting a little bit of sun, but I'm sure you weren't roasting at all. And just seeing the players and watching some of these guys for the first time in Steelers uniform, for me, you know, I mean, some of the young guys in general, pretty impressive showing overall without getting into too many details, but it's been a lot of fun.
It has, and it's going to be over soon enough. Tomorrow, the last day for the Steelers to practice, and then they'll be gone until training camp.
That's about, what, 5 or 6 weeks in between
about
there?
About 5 weeks. They'll start up somewhere around July 23rd. That would put them about 2 weeks before the Hall of Fame game.
Remember, they're a week earlier than everybody else, folks.
It's going to be a busy summer.
It is.
Once things start, it's going to happen here. So,
plan your vacations over the next 5 weeks. I mean, I am. I just got one scheduled for Florida. I don't know if you're going away or not, but I mean, then we come back at that point, and it's going to be a fun marathon with a lot of football.
Absolutely,
right.
And of course, you can always get your information here on Steelers Nation Radio or ESPN 970. Why would you want to be anywhere else?
Right.
We're bringing you the information right from the source. But Matt, you've watched a couple of practices now.
Mm-hmm.
What has you? What has piqued your interest here a little bit more than maybe you hadn't seen these guys in uniform yet this year? Is there something here that you've seen and you think, okay, that's different than what I expected, or that's better than what I expected, worse than what I expected?
Well, it's kind of a trick question because there's things that I'm not allowed to say yet.
Correct.
You know, that I didn't
just
expect.
Just your opinion on.
Right. But I will say, I mean, some of it's just, how do some of these guys look in the uniform? You know, like I mentioned yesterday, first time I sat down, I pulled out my binoculars. I'm like, where's the first-round pick? I want to see what he looks like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, things like that. And the draft class in general, especially the first three picks, are as advertised. I'll just put it that way. In terms of what we thought they were coming out of school, the way they move, what I think their role should be and could be going forward, you know. So I think the draft class has a chance to be not only immediate help, but long-term help as well, you know, which is exactly what we said after the draft. I mean, especially those first three picks, which, you know, we've pigeonholed in to get a lot of reps this year.
Here's the thing, you know, you get excited or you get optimistic, I guess is the better word. I don't get excited about anything. I you know, whether they win, lose, draw, whatever, doesn't really matter to me. But you do watch guys in these kind of settings, and you go, boy, that guy looks pretty good.
I see what they saw. And there certainly is something to seeing these people live as opposed to last time I saw Harris, for example, was the national championship game or whatever on TV, or, you know, watching on my laptop, or didn't even see a combine from him. So I was talking about this at Pitt, too, and it was even more true then, is you would recruit these kids, and then they show up to camp. And in a way, they're yours now.
You stamped your name on that guy. You were the guy who okay, this is the guy we got to sign.
It was my area, and I stood up on the table for him, and we fought over these two tight ends, one from New Jersey and one from West Mifflin, and we picked one of the two. And, you know, and you really hope that, you know, your credibility stands up, and, you know, same with the position coach. But even more than that is when those 25-ish or whatever guys show up that are, you know, on scholarship – you hope that, boy, he didn't show up 50 pounds overweight.
I mean, that's not good.
They're 16, 17 last time you saw him, you know, and they hadn't played football in a while. But they show up, they look the part right away, and it's like, good. And I think that's the first test for rookies in the league, too. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about is, and maybe we could even do a segment on this or something we'll talk about in following weeks, but I bring this up a lot, is let's not forget what last year was. I mean, we had no preseason. We didn't have a lot of these.
There was none of this.
There was none of this. I mean, I wasn't at camp at all. So there's 5 to 8 guys on the roster who didn't play a lot last year. A lot of them were rookies last year or second-year players that I can't wait to reevaluate. You know what I mean?
We're evaluating like some guys you really didn't get to see a whole lot of last year. Let's say, for example, Antoine Brooks.
Yeah, Justin Lane.
Justin Lane or
McFarland.
Yeah,
right.
James Pierre.
Exactly.
You saw a little bit of these guys, and you saw them maybe on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't get to see an extended look at them. The coaching staff didn't get an extended look at them in a game.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, you see them at practice, but practice is practice. That's what I was getting to with my point here is, like, you see guys out in these kind of situations, and, boy, that guy looks great.
Yeah, right,
and you think,
right.
Well, he's doing that against other Steeler guys, so what's that mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but mm-hmm. if it's a situation where a guy does something in a preseason game, Now there's something here. Those guys didn't know what he was going to do.
By
the same token, maybe a guy
runs somebody over,
doesn't stand out here, and then you get into preseason games and he does stand
mm-hmm,
out.
Mm-hmm. And you know me, I'm always thinking about roster building and team construction and things like that. And it's been hard to talk about those things through Kevin Colbert's eyes over this last year because – you know, you can read the writing on the wall. You can read the tea leaves. Maybe they really like Justin Lane. That's why they didn't go get a corner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, or, boy, they're not giving up on McFarland just because they drafted Harris, and he may have a big role. Or what's Brooks going to do this year? Is he going to be a deep safety? Is he going to be in the box? What's he going to do? You know, a lot of those guys that a lot of them, you know, my thoughts on them, I'm still going off college tape on him almost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
To a large degree. And
right.
what you've seen in practice, and that's all the coaching staff can go off of right now until they get
mm-hmm.
into a preseason game. So it's very interesting. It's a different dynamic, and it's something that, certainly to keep an eye on. But we're going to take a break right now. We'll be joined by Bob Labriola, editor of Steelers Digest and Steelers.com. When we return, you're listening to live Steelers minicamp coverage here on ESPN 970 and Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is live coverage of the 2021 Steelers minicamp live from Heinz Field on your 24/7 home for the Steelers, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
We are back with our live coverage here from Heinz Field of the Steelers minicamp on SNR and ESPN 970. Pleased to be joined at this time by our friend and colleague, Bob Labriola, editor of Steelers Digest and Steelers.com. Bob, how are you?
Good. You know, this weather to me is I know a lot of people want it hotter, and it's supposed to be
perfect.
This is perfect.
Perfect.
Right. 70s, low humidity.
Lots of sunshine, perfect.
a little
bit of breeze.
Sunshine.
It's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. This is the yesterday and today have been two very, very, very pleasant days, work days.
And you got to see some football.
Well, right.
I mean, that's never a bad day either.
Never a bad day either.
Yeah. You know, the Steelers have 2 days now in the books of this mini camp. Matt and I were talking in the previous segment, Bob, that. After this, they're off for about 5 weeks, and then it's back at it for the next 6 months, maybe longer. And so you have to kind of enjoy this little time off here after this. If you're Mike Tomlin and you're giving that post-practice speech tomorrow, your first words are, hey, guys, stay in shape, be ready to come back.
Well, the first thing he would say, I'm guessing, don't be that guy.
Yeah.
That's going to come into play at some point.
Right.
But you better come back ready and in shape to work in another month here, because we're going to hit it hard. And if you come back out of shape, you know, forget about it. You've hurt your chances to make this work.
Yeah, I think that, you know, what we have seen for the past many years is that that message is delivered, I'm sure, and it's also one I believe is relayed from veterans on down the experience chain, you know, within the locker room, because I don't remember, even, you know, during the Bill Cowher years, we would see the occasional failing of the run test or whatever it was called.
Yeah, that hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah, right. I don't ever remember a Mike Tomlin a run test or conditioning test or whatever they want to call it, having someone not pass.
I think Casey Hampton in year one, Mike's first year.
Was that Casey? Was that then, or was that under Cowher? I don't remember.
Casey's first year, remember, Casey went on the pup his first year under Tomlin early in camp because I don't think he passed the run test.
Yeah, I remember that happening. Yeah. I just didn't remember who was coaching at the time. But I also remember that was probably the best thing that ever happened to Casey Hampton because he didn't necessarily need pounding on his body.
You didn't need Casey Hampton running 100 yards at a time.
Also didn't need him taking reps on the field. I mean, he needed to get his body in shape, in condition for the long NFL season, and that was able to happen on that side field with Marcel, the assistant strength coach. But anyway, I remember the Casey Hampton one, the Jermaine Stevens one. There was at least one more. But anyway, the point being that lately the team has come to training camp either here at Heinz Field or up in La Trobe at St. Vincent College, having adhered to the mandate to use this time, to get their bodies acclimated for what's going to come.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the way it's expected to be. That's why they have an off-season program now, so the coaches can keep an eye on these guys, whereas those situations that you're talking about before, the Jermaine Stevens and things of that nature that were 20 years ago, you would see the players at the end of the season. You wouldn't see them again until mini camp, and then that was
stretch,
it.
Yeah.
There was nothing. Hiatus.
Well, and, I was talking to Dick Hoke about this three years ago when he came to, St. Vincent, and we were just, chatting about how things have changed. And, he was talking, the seven of those Super Bowl teams, they were definitely in that group, that era where, once the season ended, then you didn't see them except for maybe a 2 or 3 day mini camp. But then training camp, first of all,
was like 2 months long.
First of all, there were 6 preseason games.
Yes.
Wow.
And then, Dick Hoke did say that a couple of those years, 75 and 76, those summers, the Steelers were coming off a Super Bowl championship, and those were the last 2 years of the College All-Star Game. It was played in Chicago. A group of College All-Stars would play the reigning NFL champion in an initial preseason game. So those 2 years, 1975 and 1976, the Steelers played 7 preseason games, 14-game regular season, 7 preseason games. Dick Hoke said they were on campus at St. Vincent College like July 5th or 6th.
I can think of some people who wouldn't mind that.
Well, but
the players not being among them.
But, right. But what I'm saying is, veterans now, the union, complain about all this. Players don't have any free time. I think this doing this in little doses this way
and it's
is
not
better to me than
– not mandatory.
Right. I hate to sound like Tunch and Wolf, but, Chuck, those were two-a-days for probably through the entire month of July after you got there July 6th or 7th. So,
but the players used that time to get in shape.
Yes, they had to. Yes, yes.
I mean, now you're expected to show up in shape.
Yes.
And some of those players were insurance salesmen in the offseason.
Oh, they had other jobs.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Labs, we were having a good conversation, the first segment, just a quick thing, that a lot of these players, the young guys, not the draft picks coming in because, they're new, but the guys that are a year, even two in, there's a big portion of them. I could probably name 10 names of, we don't really know what they are. We didn't get a preseason of them last year. I mean, very little camp time. I mean, I'm talking about the Justin Lanes and Pierre and Brooks.
Highsmith.
I mean, at least guys, he played some snaps.
And guys, included in that group you're talking about, there's a lot of guys that are going to be counted on fairly heavily this
absolutely,
season.
Absolutely.
So, I mean,
Bugs and Davis and a lot of these guys that they drafted, they liked, they know a ton more than we do about them, but some of those guys are going to step up and have pretty good years, I have a feeling.
Yeah, and other guys who may have been here just a little bit longer, Chooks.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who I believe needs
full offseason, regular
training camp and a preseason.
Especially going left side.
Yes, and being a starter. Anthony McFarland is another guy. Mm-hmm. What do you have from him? Claypool.
Even the Claypools and Highsmiths, who we saw a fair amount from and were impressive, imagine what, their head had to be swimming last year.
We're seeing guys like Antoine Brooks, for example.
Yeah, that's another one.
That, I mean, what is he? When he came in last year.
Can he help you this year?
Right. He's a 5'11", 220-pound safety. What is he? Is he a linebacker? Is he a safety? Is he a cornerback? We've seen him. This is no secret. Terrell Austin talked about it. They see him playing in the slot a lot this year. His landing spot?
There? Yeah. What's he able to? Yeah. There's so many of those guys on this team and every team right now that are just mysteries to us, even though we're pretty close to the organization.
Yeah, I would imagine, and to some degree, mysteries to the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
You got, for example, the slot corner job, Mike Hilton's job, for lack of a better description of it. I mean, Trey Norman.
Norwood. Mm-hmm.
Norwood.
Norwood.
Yeah. Trey Norwood. I mean, where's he fit in?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
He could be an answer, or at least part of the answer, but, we're not going to know this until they're taking some real snaps. Mark Gilbert, the undrafted rookie corner from Duke. Shakur Brown.
Yeah.
He could be something of an answer at in the slot.
They gave Brown a lot of money, and they gave him a nice big signing bonus.
You already mentioned
Justin
James
Lane,
Pierre.
Right.
So a lot of these guys, I mean, and I also think, not that you're necessarily going to hope or want to see them this year, but Mason Rudolph needs some more playing time. You might get some kind of better read on what you got in Dwayne Haskins. There's just a lot of things that those games can help you provide, mm-hmm. in terms of information, evaluation, those kind of things that, they have value. I get it that, fans, want to get to the games that count in the standings and see the starters and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, there is value in those games from an evaluation and seasoning aspect.
Even from the standpoint, Bob, of you got new guys on your coaching staff, being able to go through preseason games with those guys, I mean, they talked about it last year before they went and played the Giants. What's this going to look like walking into a stadium for the first time? You had no preseason to get ready for that.
Yeah.
This year you've got it. It looks like we're going to have fans back in the stadiums, and the NFL came out with a bunch of new rules today about, how it's going to work with the media, how it's going to work with players who've been vaccinated, those kind of things. We've been in a quickly changing world. If you think about how our business was 20 years ago and the advances that have been made in that, we're basically, in the last 12 months, have gone through like 25 years of advancements, just something changing every week that, okay, now you got to do it this way. Now do it this. Now do this. It was just unprecedented, and to not have any preseason last year to even test that stuff out. What were the stadium going to look like? How was the stadium testing going to work? All those things that go into it. Well, now they have a pretty good idea, but if you got new coaches on your staff, how do you do things? I was on the staff, and let's say, for example, I was with the Giants last year. Well, we did it this way. Well, we don't do that. Here's what we do on game day. Mm-hmm. Just to go through that whole process, it's just huge for everybody on the roster.
And along those lines, too, with developing players like we were talking about, considering what we didn't have last year, this might be a really good year to have that extra preseason game. It could work in the Steelers' favor a little bit.
And who do you want in the booth?
Right.
Who do you want on mm-hmm. the sideline?
Right, right.
Who operates better in which, location and, based on their coaching personality and whether their group is more of a veteran group or a younger group, does that mean you want to be more in their face or less in their face or, all those kind of different things? You can work a lot of that stuff out in the games that don't count. And, there is value to those games. The the one thing that I would like to see done is that the teams who play in the Hall of Fame game not have an extra game. You know, you can play, for example, just use this year as an example. Okay, the Steelers and the Cowboys are in the Hall of Fame game. Okay, then if your preseason is now three games, then they each have two more. That's it.
Mm-hmm. So that wouldn't be a bad thing because, you know, all you're doing is exposing players to another game of injury.
Right. And I get it. You say, well, the frontline players don't play much anyway. Well, but if you got to pay all those guys.
Yes.
Yeah. You still got to put five offensive linemen out there.
And if you only had the three, you would see more of the frontline players in that Hall of Fame game. It wouldn't be your 50th through 90th guys playing in the Hall of Fame game every year.
Now, I love how people talk about we'll just sit everybody. Well, who's going to play offensive line for you?
Yeah, right.
You can't put the three of us and Moats and West out there. Then you can't
evaluate.
Then you don't know your quarterbacks,
the receivers, or the running backs.
Yeah, it's a big puzzle, and the league is piecing it together now, and I think we'll have a definitive plan here in another month. I would certainly hope so.
Anyway, God, I hope it's earlier than that. Right. No, because
you know how things are gone though with this. I mean, some of this stuff has gone right up to the limit because things change.
Well, yeah, I get that, but I think that there's a little bit more stability now in terms of health.
Sure.
Because one of the things that was explained to me was, the equipment staff, the video department, the trainers. They need to know where they're going to be to pack everything. You know, are you going to be an hour and a half away? Are you going to be 15 minutes away? You know, where the weight room.
Mm-hmm. All the gear.
Right.
I mean, all the
gear. Right. So, you get to a point where you got to let us know, where we're going to be and what we're going to be able to do because we got to get ready for it. Mm-hmm. And so, I would.
Sooner rather than later.
Well, within a few days,
yeah.
I think just make a decision and let the team know. Okay, you can go to Latrobe, or no, you can't.
Did you see the Cowboys said? Dallas said yesterday they're going away to camp.
Well,
to California, wherever they go.
But see, I don't know what that facility is.
I don't either. And that's the difference.
St. Vincent, great place. I mean, I'm not, but their locker rooms are small because primarily their sports that they offer at the college, are the, tennis and soccer and those kinds of things. Yes, they have a football team, but it's not a major
NFL football team.
Well, but it's not even a D1
situation.
So, you don't have locker rooms that would allow social distancing. You don't have, a lot of the things that you need. If there are going to be the same kind of protocols in place this year.
Well, they just Tom Pelissero tweeted out a bunch of stuff today that the league is saying if you're vaccinated, there's some definitive rules here. And you're highly penalized now. Players who are vaccinated are freely allowed to do pretty much go back to normal. Unvaccinated players, not so much. They're still under the old protocols.
Right,
so
they've got to get tested
every day.
Wear the masks.
If they get caught going away from the facility out to a nightclub or anything like that, you can fine them up to $50,000.
They can't eat lunch with their teammates.
They can't eat lunch. Yeah, right. They're basically being ostracized here. I would think that this would be a pretty big
motivator
for all players to get tested.
Yeah, you mean vaccinated.
Vaccinated.
Yeah, because here's another thing, and I understand you're not allowed to do this and everything, but those are just words. But if you could persuade them, though. No, but if the three of us are caught in the roster from 90 to 53,
right,
and there's two guys that, really.
This guy can go to meetings and this guy can't.
This guy can't eat lunch with the buddies and talk about the playbook. Right.
So
if it's a tiebreaker,
there's going to be decisions made based on a lot of factors. And so, what Mike Tomlin said yesterday about the Steelers in his understanding are at the top of the league, in terms of, getting vaccinated. Good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Good.
Get that. You don't want that to be a distraction. You went through enough with it last year.
I don't
want to
hear about it all in camp. Yeah. By the time camp rolls around, that should be done.
If any team had a good look at what COVID situations look like last year? It was the Steelers.
Yeah.
With their games being postponed and games moved and this guy tests positive. Like
playing a Thanksgiving night game the following Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah. Most of the if there was a team that was more affected by it last year, I don't know who it was. I mean, there were some teams that had, you know, was the Raiders lost –
some teams lost more players,
but nobody
changed their life.
Nobody had to have their whole schedule torn up like the Steelers had last year, and I thought it had an effect on them down the stretch.
It had an effect on me.
It definitely did.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? And I'm not a player, and I'm not so. I can't see how it couldn't have had. You know, but again, I am very happy that the league got the schedule in. You know, they had a championship game. They handed out a trophy.
Remarkable, really.
Yeah. And, you know, all of the people who are in that business were able to, you know, maintain their jobs. I mean, I understand that a lot of the facilities, the buildings, the stadiums, you know, a lot of those people were impacted. But I'm talking about, you know, secretaries and, you know, those kind of people all were able to, you know, get through the year at least with their jobs. And, you know, that makes me happy. But I still think that at this point the league needs to let some people know or make some decisions, because the teams that wanted to go away had to submit plans.
Right.
Well, okay, rule on the plan.
Yeah.
You know, rule, make a decision. So that everybody, you know, I understand that you're rooting for one decision over another, and I get all that. But at some point, you just got to tell. You got to, if it's no, it's no. But tell me no.
Yeah.
Don't string me along until, because you know, as I said, there are so many facets of a National Football League team that people really don't even think about. What about the grass up there?
Yeah.
At St. Vincent. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you want it to be NFL caliber. They
do a lot of work to prep for training camp.
So,
during training camp.
Do you have your Heinz Field people? Because that's who does that, despite what St. Vincent might want you to think.
the food, the lodging, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You've got to order this stuff. I mean, you know, as I said. Well,
and here's the thing that people need to understand about the NFL. I remember this came up a couple of years ago when the Martavis Bryant suspension was hanging, or the reinstatement was hanging over his head.
Yeah.
The league offices essentially shut down for the month of July. That's when they all take their vacations. So they better come up with a plan here within the next week or so, because after that, they're all gone for a month.
Yeah.
It should be coming sooner rather than later. I know we're all looking forward to that and finding out. We don't know exactly what we're doing.
Oh, of course.
No.
I mean, and even if they don't go to St. Vincent's,
there's going to be something somewhere.
They got to prepare the south side, you know, I mean, accordingly, right.
Right. You, as I said, the video people, the equipment people, the training staff, the weight room, they're going to pack all that up and move it. Now, where are they moving it?
Mm-hmm.
And how far away is it going to be? You know, do we need to pack things, as an example, you know, equipment where you can't have this an hour and a half away from where we are? But it maybe could be 20 minutes away.
Okay, I'd like to go out on a limb now. I'm going to offer my backyard. they can hold training camp in my backyard.
I don't want to go to Washington.
It's all very interesting. It's all something that's going to happen here within the next few weeks. But the Steelers on the field today, wrapping up day two of their mini camp here at Heinz Field.
Okay, prediction for you two guys.
Okay.
Is there practice tomorrow?
I am going to go out on a limb and say no.
I'm going to say yes.
You're going to say yes?
Yes, I think that this is a setting the tone kind of thing.
Okay.
And I don't know that it's going to be, you know, overly strenuous, but I think that you send a message. You have practice.
I'm kind of with you, and I was thinking about this on the way down here. How could a team like the Houston Texans, I mean, of all teams, cancel this? They didn't even do this year because they decided they're going to cancel it. Like, they brought in 30 new free agents. They don't have a quarterback. They have a new coach, and they're just not going to do this. Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That makes no sense to me at all.
That's crazy.
Well, some of the
I don't care if it's the Tampa Bay Bucs.
Yeah, some of the decisions that have come out of the Houston Texans.
You get questioned a lot.
Seriously,
of them.
Are curious. So,
yes.
It doesn't make any sense, but it's not necessarily surprising.
Right. Why would you cancel this event? This is important.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
Because you want your players when they, you know, we were talking earlier about you want them to come to St. Vincent or wherever training camp is in shape for what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you want them to, is wherever training camp is, you want them to come with a decent understanding of the framework of your systems so that they can practice without having to overly think too much or relearn a lot of the basics or, you know, those kind of things. You want them out there, as they say, playing fast so that you can evaluate them and they are in a good position to be able to showcase their skill sets to give you a really good chance to evaluate them. And, yeah, you don't want them out there bumbling around about, well, where am I supposed to
be? The last thing you want to do is cut Johnny Unitas.
Right. Right. Because you didn't give him a chance.
What tempo do we practice at? You know, I mean,
yeah.
How fast do we actually play at practice?
Practice etiquette.
Physical and,
you don't want fights. You don't want, you know, any of that stuff. And a lot of that, you know, fundamental, and by fundamentals, I'm not talking about blocking and tackling. Mm-hmm. Other fundamental parts of being a professional.
That's how it works here.
Yes. Yeah, right. This is how this is done here. And, so, yes, I'm going to say that there is.
Okay. We'll find out tomorrow, but we're going to let you go now, Bob. We appreciate you stopping by, as always. We got to go to break. So he is Bob Labriola, editor of Steelers Digest and Steelers.com. You can read him there. You can always hear him on these airwaves. And I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We'll continue right after this. We're going to take this break here. You're listening to Steelers live coverage ongoing from Heinz Field of the Steelers minicamp. We'll be back here on ESPN 970 and Steelers Nation Radio right after this.
This is live coverage of the 2021 Steelers minicamp live from Heinz Field on your 24/7 home for the Steelers, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. You're live. We are live at Steelers minicamp here at Heinz Field. And we referenced this in the previous segment there with Bob Labriola. We thank him for stopping by.
Yeah, it was great.
Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network put out a whole bunch of new league vaccine
might be protocols. Influential.
Yes, might be quite influential here. I'm looking at some of these things here. They have the testing cadence for the 2021 camp and preseason. They have the players split into different categories here. You have your fully vaccinated individuals. That would be Tier 1, which includes players.
Yep.
Tier 2, which is the support staff. Tier 2M, which is the media, hence the M. And then Tier 3 individuals. These are people who are fully vaccinated, meaning 14 days past the individual's last dose of applicable vaccine. So if you got, depending on what shot you got, have to be 14 days after your last shot. These individuals must test once every 14 days via BR, whatever this thing is, PCR test, on the day of the club's choosing during the weeks they are entering the club facility. The individual does not need to wait for results to return prior to entering the club facility. So if you've had the shots, once every 14 days, they're going to retest you just to make sure.
Okay.
And then you're good. Not fully vaccinated Tier 1, including players, and Tier 2 individuals. You notice there's no Tier 2M or Tier 3 individuals.
Tiers have narrowed down a little bit, huh?
If you're a Tier 2M person or a Tier 3 person and you're not vaccinated, don't even bother trying.
Okay.
Essentially, you can't be here.
That's a wrap.
Pre-entry testing. Beginning with the start of training camp, all Tier 1 individuals, including players and Tier 2 individuals who are not fully vaccinated and are entering the club facility for the first time, must undergo the following entry testing. Day 1, they have to do a MESA test and BRL PCR. May not enter the club facility until negative MESA test results return.
Okay.
Day 2, the MESA test you have to do again. May not enter the club until negative test return. Day 3, the MESA test once again.
Wow.
And you may not enter the club facility until negative tests.
How long does it take to get a negative test on these?
Well, they're...
I would hope pretty quick.
Because they know the incubation period now much better.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go 5 days of testing
Wow. Okay. Before you do anything.
Before you do anything. Testing thereafter every day. Re-entry. Any Tier 1 or 2 individual, including players who is not fully vaccinated and who misses a day of testing, must undergo the following re-entry testing. Those 5 days, you got to repeat that all 5 days again.
Wow. Makes it hard to be great at your job. I mean, like Labs was saying, right, it's you're fighting for a roster spot.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, man, you're hurting yourself.
You're just hurting yourself here.
And it gets worse.
And it does get worse. He had some other stuff that he tweeted out. Discipline for violation of NFLPA COVID-19 protocols. We talked about this. And the NFL may impose discipline upon any player who refuses to cooperate or who knowingly provides misleading or incomplete information during a contact tracing interview conducted by the NFL, NFL club, or pursuant to the NFLPA club COVID-19 protocols. The maximum fine for such discipline shall be equal to 1 week's game check up to $50,000.
Wow.
They're not messing around here.
No, right. I mean, so legally they can't tell you you have to get vaccinated, right?
But they're telling
you. But they can push you in a pretty strong manner.
They're making this pretty.
If you want to be an NFL player.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very, like, last
they're
year
harsh.
We saw some teams, you know, this guy, this strength and conditioning coach for the Ravens didn't wear his his tracer in the
facility.
Team facility, and they got in trouble for that. That's all required, and if you don't do it, and you get, you're in trouble. Big trouble.
Do you think me and you and the public will know who is and who isn't? I mean, I know you're not supposed to.
Here's the thing.
Players you're out in public or whatever.
Protocol modifications for vaccinated individuals.
Okay, yeah.
Here we go. So if you're fully vaccinated, there's no daily testing required. This is once the season starts. If you're not fully vaccinated, testing required every day. If you're fully vaccinated, masks are not required at the club facility or during team travel.
Okay, so it's kind of life as usual.
If you're not fully vaccinated, you must remain you're required to wear a mask at club facility during travel.
Okay. That's not the worst thing in the world, but
fully vaccinated, no physical distancing required in the club facility with other vaccinated individuals. If you're not fully vaccinated, you must remain physically distanced from others in the club facility.
So I wonder if there's going to be like a locker room area for
non.
Right. You're over in the corner by yourself, you know.
If you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to have quarantine after high-risk exposure to COVID. If you aren't, you do have to quarantine. You have no travel restrictions on you if you're fully vaccinated. If you're not fully vaccinated, travel restrictions are in effect. If you are vaccinated, they don't have any capacity limits on the weight room.
Great.
There's a 15 player limit if it's unvaccinated players.
So there'd be two different times.
If you're vaccinated, you can eat in the cafeteria with other fully vaccinated individuals. If you haven't been vaccinated, players must be physically distanced in the meal room, may not eat with teammates. Staff who are not vaccinated must grab and go, no meals in the cafeteria.
It's crazy. I mean, how much more work it is now for the strength coach, the trainers that set up the locker rooms, the food prep people for two different groups, too. Like, we thought we were past this, and we'll get back to usual, which is busy enough, and now I got to deal with three or four guys that can't be around others.
Here's the big one. If you're fully vaccinated, you can interact with vaccinated family and friends during team travel. If you're not vaccinated, you may not leave the team hotel to eat in restaurants. You may not interact with anyone outside a team traveling party during team travel.
It's going to be a deal breaker.
Yeah, right. I think the guys are going to get vaccinated unless you have some kind of real problem. Yeah,
especially now because they're not doing football. They're not going to have the ramifications after the second one.
You're going to go do it now and get it taken care of, and everything will be good. That's the way it's going to work. So we'll see how this works out.
They're sure pushing that way.
Yeah, they're pushing them hard. but we're going to take a break here. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to Steelers Live coverage here from minicamp at Heinz Field on your station for all your Steelers coverage, ESPN 970 and Steelers Nation Radio.